All right, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good to see you all here this morning. Glad you can be here. Glad for those who are able to join us online as well here this morning, or whenever you can watch it at your convenience, but glad you all could join us. But it's good to see the sun out a little bit today, so that's nice. It's been kind of cloudy and dreary, so great day to be here at the first day of the week to be able to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I just have a few announcements to go over before we get started. I did hear earlier this past week that Sister Diane had hurt her ankle, so she's going to have to kind of sit this out for a little bit while that gets better, so we'll keep Diane in our prayers. Also, Sister Verna let me know that Janice was going to stay in today. She's feeling a little dizzy, so she was going to stay home today. And then I also know that we have a lot of travelers that are out. You probably look around and see that, but keep in mind, still some holiday traveling going on, so just keep all the travelers in our prayers as well. That's all I really have as far as new news at this time. So if there's nothing else, before we start our worship service, you would bow with me for a word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the day that you blessed us with. We're thankful for the time that we can be here together, that we can lift our voice in praise to you, dear Lord, to sing these songs that mean so much, dear Lord, and help us to focus on the words of these songs as we praise you with all our heart. And then as we study from your word, dear Lord, help us to focus our thoughts and our minds on the words being said, the words being read, and that we can apply those to our lives. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, help us to focus our minds on that great sacrifice that you sent your Son to die upon the cross for us, dear Lord. We're so thankful again for this time of worship. We honor and cherish it, dear Lord. We're mindful of our loved ones that aren't able to be with us today. Please be with them and give them strength. We miss the ones that are traveling. Please give them safe trip as they come home. Help everything to go well. Also, we're mindful here today of Sister Diane. Help her injury to heal very quickly, dear Lord, and also be with Sister Janice, that she feels better very soon, dear Lord. All of our other loved ones that aren't able to be with us for various reasons, dear Lord, please be with them and give them encouragement, give them strength, and continue to give them good health. We know, dear Lord, that we really miss them, and we look forward to seeing them again soon. And as things hopefully in this world continue down the right track, we pray that we can all be together again here real soon, dear Lord. But always give us all strength and encouragement to get through each day, and always help us to be bright lights and shining examples to all that we're around. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before Bobby's lesson, we're going to sing a couple songs. We're going to start with number 13. You are the song that I sing. You are the words and the music.
You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony.
Praise the name I will ring.
You are the Lord of lords. You are the mighty God. You are the King of all kings. So now I give back to you the song that you gave to me. You are the song that I sing.
Amen. Sing, We Will Glorify the King of Kings next.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness we worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Hallelujah to the King of kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of lords, who is the great I Am.
Brother Bobby.
Good morning. It's good to see each one of you present today, and those that are tuned in by electronic means, we're glad that you're with us today. And hopefully, as we study together, we can all come closer to God and be more determined to do His will in the way that He would have us to do it. And today we're studying from the book of Ephesians. I hope you have read it over several times. It's a short book, about six chapters, but there's a lot said in there, and I think you can see before we get through with this book of Ephesians that we are beginning today. Well, last week we had the introduction to it and talked about some of the things about Ephesus and where it was located and the size of it and the type of city it was and all this kind of thing. But today we're talking about the church at Ephesus is what we're talking about. And Paul begins that in chapter 1 of Ephesians, So if you'll open your Bible to Ephesians 1, we're going to do most of our references will be from Ephesians chapter 1 today. However, there are some that will be from other places. If you want to turn or write them down to where you can study them when you get home, that'll be perfectly all right as well. You don't have to read very far when you start reading from the Bible to understand that these things that we know today didn't just happen, that this was a plan that was made by God. He had an eternal plan, eternal purpose, and we're going to see that. I think Paul will show that in the book of Ephesians as we study it, that God had an eternal purpose before the world began, before it was even created. God had in mind a plan for mankind, and we're going to see that come to pass as we study in these the scriptures today. Spiritual blessings are talked about in Ephesians chapter 1, and Paul makes it very plain that God is the one that gives to us or makes possible for us those spiritual blessings. However, he himself is not the only one that's involved in this as we begin to study from Ephesians chapter 1. Matter of fact, let's begin reading in chapter 1 down at verse 3 and read a few verses there to start with. Now, we'll come back and talk about these verses more as we get on down into our lesson and probably read some of these verses again in our study today. But read with me, if you will. Paul begins, of course, with verse 1, talking about Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and by the will of God, to the saints that are in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And now let's begin with verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Now here we see one of the things that we're going to be talking about right off the bat in verse 3. We'll talk about every spiritual blessing, not just some spiritual blessings, but every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus our Lord. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possessions to the praise of his glory. Now, there's a lot said in those few verses that I just read, and a lot of things that we're going to go back and bring out, particularly as we go through these verses. When we start studying, first of all, we notice that Paul praises God for spiritual blessings. And I think that's not only Paul that needs to praise God, but we need to praise God every day of our life for the spiritual blessings that he makes possible for us. Now, these spiritual blessings then come from God. But we notice also that this plan is in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is there. It kind of makes you go back like to John chapter 1 when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there was not anything made without him that was made. And talks about later how that he was made flesh and dwell among us. Well, Paul here talks about that these spiritual blessings are made possible by God, but these spiritual blessings are through Jesus Christ, or in Jesus Christ, as he talks about. And that's very important, and we'll notice that as we study in this lesson today. The first chapter of Ephesians is dedicated to explaining two great truths, and we need to realize that in our studying of this book, and it'll help us to understand it a little bit better. The first truth is that God's plan focused on providing spiritual blessings to all people. These spiritual blessings are there for everybody. They're not just for a certain group, but they're there for everybody who will accept in the way that God has said. Now, the second truth, the second part of that truth, we might say, is that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Now, God makes them possible. He makes these blessings possible, but we cannot have those blessings unless we are in Christ Jesus. Those that are outside of Christ are not promised these blessings. These blessings are not available to those who are outside of Christ. And so one thing that's stressed over and over again as we go through this short book is the possibility and the need of our being in Christ Jesus, that there's so many things that we miss if we're outside of Christ. Now, no matter what you may hear preached from today's pulpit, God is most interested in our spiritual well-being, not necessarily in our physical and social happiness, even though when Christ was here upon the earth, we know that he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he caused the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear. He healed the lepers and all this, but this was not his real purpose of being here. If you go back to Luke 19 and verse 10, it'll tell us that his purpose was not to heal the sick. His purpose was not for our social happiness necessarily, but he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In Luke 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save those that were lost. And this was his purpose, was here upon this earth. And we're going to find that was God's purpose as well. As we study from chapter 1, and then as we get into the rest of the book, it'll be stressed even stronger, I think, as we get into other verses that we'll be studying. Just look at the list of blessings attributed to the riches of his grace. In chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What do we have? We have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. But then in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, and at verse 4 it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now, his great mercy there and the love that he loved us. I don't think there's any doubt in our minds, if we know anything about the Bible, but that God loved us. And even before the foundation of the world, he had a plan. But then he sent his Son into the world to make it possible that we could have forgiveness of our sins and we could be adopted in as part of his family. Now, at the sixth verse of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So God has made it possible for us to be a part of his family, to be with him, to sit with him there as Jesus does in glory. And in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, in verse 8 he says, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." The unsearchable riches, that we just cannot imagine, is what he said. In verse 16 now of that third chapter, he says, "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit of the inner man." All of these things are the blessings that God has provided for us and plans for us. Now, I want us to look together at the list of the different things that is attributed to the riches of his grace. First of all, he chose us. Now, God didn't have to choose us, but he did. He chose us as his people. And what a honor and what a privilege that God saw fit to choose us. Back in the old law, you know, Old Testament, the Israelites was God's chosen people. But today, those who obey the gospel of Christ, those that are obedient to him, those that are in Christ, are his chosen people. And God chose us, and he didn't have to choose us, but he did, made it possible that we could belong to him, that we could be a part of his family, that we could be a part of the inheritance that we'll talk about a little bit later. He adopted us. Now, he didn't have to adopt us. He didn't have to say, "Well, you know, you're not a part of my real family, but I will adopt you as a part of the family." But this is what he did. He made it possible that we could be brought into his family, even though we were not blood part of his blood family. We could be known as children of his. We could be just as much a son of God as Jesus was. And so we are adopted. He made it possible that we could be adopted in to his family. And in this also, he redeemed us, made it possible that we could have remission of our sins. He didn't have to do that. You know, we were guilty of sin, and he sent his son into the world to redeem us from our sins. Now, let me tell you, kind of explain what redemption is. Suppose I had a watch that was worth a good bit of money, and I ran into a little tight and needed some money, and so I go down to the pawn shop, and I say to the man, "How much money will you loan me on this watch?" And he looks at it, and he says, "Well, I'll loan you $500 on this watch, and I'll give you 30 days to come back. If you want to come back in 30 days and pay the $500 plus $50 interest, then you can come back in 30 days and pay $550 and redeem the watch." So I get into a little better circumstances, and I go back down along toward the end of the month, and I say, "Well, I want to redeem that watch." And so I give him the $550. He gives me the watch. So what have I done? I have bought it back. I have redeemed it. And that's what Jesus did for us. He bought us back. He paid the price for our sins and made it possible that we could be redeemed. And so this is another blessing that we talk about from this chapter. He forgave us. He didn't have to forgive us of our sins, but he made it possible to where we could have our sins forgiven. He could send his son into the world to pay the price for us, that our sins could be forgiven. That means that those sins are forgotten. That means it's just as if we never committed them before, when Jesus did the cleansing of our sins through his blood. But God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to make it where we could be forgiven, but he did, to where we could have the forgiveness of our sins. He also revealed the mystery of his will to us. Now, the gospel was not always complete. People did not always know about the full gospel as we do, because it was being revealed in parts and bits and pieces and so forth. And so before all of it was brought together through the pen of the apostles and through the Holy Spirit, then it was not revealed. And Paul talked about how that the gospel was revealed unto him, and he wrote it down in few words, whereby when we read, we might understand his knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Well, that mystery was the gospel that was not yet completely revealed. And so God saw fit to reveal this mystery unto us, not like it was to others in years gone by, but we can know what the Bible has to say. We can know what God wants us to do and how to accomplish that very thing. Another thing that he did, also one of the blessings, is that he gathered us together in one body. At one time, there was a great division between the Jews and the Gentiles. And they had built almost an imaginary wall between the two. They would not have anything to do with one another. The Jews thought the Gentiles were less than a people. They thought they were more like an animal, more like dogs, and they wouldn't have anything to do with them. And this imaginary wall had been built between the Jew and the Gentile. It kind of reminds me of the Berlin Wall. You remember how that there was the wall that was built between East Germany and the rest of Germany, and they couldn't go back and forth between one another. And I remember back a few years ago when they started tearing that wall down, you saw people out there with their hammers and different things trying to get rid of that wall to where they could be free to go back and forth in all parts of that country. Well, there was a wall, if no more than imaginary wall, between the Jews and Gentiles. And so when Jesus died on the cross, one thing he did was to remove that wall of division or that wall of separation that was there was moved, and in one body he included both Jew and Gentile. Everyone that's obedient to Jesus Christ, regardless of who we are, Jew, Gentile, bond or free, if we obey the gospel of Christ, then we are a part of one body, the body of Christ, his church. And so God made it possible that we could be gathered together in one. Jesus broke down that middle wall of partition that was there. Another thing is that he provided an inheritance for us. Now, you know, this is very important. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go and prepare a place for you. Well, what is that? That's an inheritance that he's promising unto us, something that we can inherit that we did not deserve, but it's there. And so this inheritance he's provided for us. He didn't have to do that, but he did, and made it there through the riches of his grace that these things are possible unto us. Now, let me stop here and drive down a peg here so that we can remember this. Just because God is providing all these blessings for us don't mean that we're going to get these blessings, all of us. There are some rules and regulations that we must meet in order to have these blessings, and we're going to see what those are. There's some conditions that has to be met. Now, we know what conditions are. Suppose that I took my car keys out and I laid them up here and I said, I'm going to give these car keys to whoever will do whatever, maybe pay a certain price or whatever, that they'll have my car, okay? Then that's what we're talking about. The inheritance is there, the product is there, but there's conditions that you got to meet. You got to pay me so much money, or you got to do so much for me, or whatever. Well, this is what God has done as far as the blessings are concerned. They're there, and there's no doubt that the blessings are there. And they're there for you, they're there for me. But there are rules that I must meet in order to have those blessings, and so it is with you. Nothing is said here about material prosperity or physical welfare, and yet the person who is a child of God is the richest person that's ever lived. And so it may not say anything about material blessings or material prosperity or physical welfare, but when we are a child of God, we are rich indeed. We're admonished to come up higher in our thinking and set our minds on things of God and not on things of the earth. Listen to what Paul said writing to the Philippian brethren in chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So come up to the higher way of thinking. Don't set your affections on things of the earth, but on things that are above. He has planned wonderful blessings for us, but these blessings will be missed unless we place our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Now let's go back to the book of Matthew and let's read a little bit from Matthew chapter 6. If you go down to verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6, let's read a few verses together. Lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we're to lay up treasures in heaven and not on earth. Now, if you'll turn over to the book of Luke, in chapter 12 of the book of Luke, I want to begin reading with verse 13 of this chapter and read down through about verse 21. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And he said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to him, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." And he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The grounds of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my goods?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I store all of my crop and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" And so we then must put our affections on things above. We cannot expect to receive these blessings that God has given or has made for us unless we set our affections on things above. God's plan finds fulfillment in Christ. And these who receive them, receive these blessings, must be in Christ. They're fulfilled in Christ. Now this expression, "in Christ," appears 30 times in this short epistle, these six chapters of the book of Ephesians. And it shows the importance of our being in Christ. And this is where all of these things come. We talked about God choosing us and making it possible for us to be adopted, and redemption, forgiveness, the gathering together into one body, the inheritance of all the things that are there. All these are in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And so all of these are attainable, but they're only attainable through Christ Jesus. I have to be in Christ in order to do this. Well, the next question is, how do I get into Christ? And we'll talk about that too as we get on further into our lesson. The great goal of God's planning is man's salvation. And that's what we're talking about here. God was interested that man should be saved. It's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So at the best we do, we make mistakes and we come short of the glory of God. It means that we are all dead in sin. Romans 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so being dead to sin, then there must be something done in order for us to have these blessings that God has promised unto us. The second chapter of the book of Ephesians may explain this a little bit more. The second chapter of Ephesians shows that God is so full of love that although we were dead in sin, he raised us up to sit with him in heavenly places or in the spiritual realm in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 again. Let's read a few more verses there before we bring our lesson to a close today. In Ephesians, this time we're going to the second chapter instead of the first chapter. And we're going to begin there with verse 1 and read about the first 10 verses there in Ephesians chapter 2. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And so here in chapter 2, we see that God is planning for man's salvation. Even though man was dead in sin, he makes provisions for us that we can have those sins forgiven. We are saved by grace. We all deserved to die. But God, through his grace, made it possible that Jesus Christ could come and make the sacrifice for us, that those sins could be forgiven. Nothing we could possibly do can merit our salvation. Without God's help, we could not be saved. And so he makes it possible that we can have that salvation through Jesus Christ and through his suffering on the cross. Only God can save us, and that is what he planned to do. On the condition, of course, that we would be obedient to his word. We would respond through faith and become his workmanship, as Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10 showed, that we must be the workmanship of God. So we can't just do anything we want to and expect to receive these blessings. We have to be in Christ Jesus. We have to be obedient unto him. And of course, the Bible shows that we're baptized into Jesus Christ. And so the way we get into him is through baptism, being baptized into Jesus Christ. We must pray to God for wisdom and understanding. This is one thing Paul pointed out in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 19, that we can have this wisdom and understanding, but we must pray to God for that wisdom and understanding. God makes it possible that we can learn his word. We go back and we study the Bible, we read it day by day, and we learn things that are there. But in addition to learning what the Bible says, we need the wisdom and understanding to put it to practice in our life the way it needs to be put to practice, and to be able to teach others the way that they can put it to practice in their life to be pleasing in the sight of God. God's power is at work in Christ. Now, the last three verses of Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "For above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet," under the feet of Christ, "gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So when we talk about the body of Christ and being in that body, it is the church of our Lord that we are to be in. And unless we are in that church, unless we are in that body, then we do not receive the blessings that God has promised unto us. Now, it's possible for you today, if you're not a child of God, to become a child of God, to be in Christ Jesus to where you are capable of receiving these blessings that God has promised unto us. But those blessings are in Christ Jesus, are through Christ Jesus, and we must be in him in order to attain these wonderful blessings that God has promised unto us. Now, let me urge you today, if you're not a child of God, you need to be. We want you to be. We're here to help you to become a child of God. Or if you've drifted back into the ways of the world after becoming a child of God, we're here to help you to return to the Lord, that you might be in him and ready to receive these blessings that he's promised unto us. Will you come while we stand and as we sing together?
Just as I am.
Excellent lesson. To prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing 161, Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Finished was his cry. Now.
Good morning. You know, often we use songs, not often, always, we use songs as we prepare to gather around the table, just to help set our minds on those things which we should, so that we're completely focused on Christ and on what He did for us. One of those songs that we sometimes sing is "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." And the first verse says, "For when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." Verse 2 says, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood." The third verse says, "See from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" And the last verse said, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." What an appropriate description as we gather around the table. We can look at the cross and think about all that Christ did for us. We can think about His birth, His life, His teachings. We can think about His betrayal, His arrest, the mock trials that He went through. We can think about His death, His resurrection, and His ascension. And we can think about the hope that we have through Christ. The song closed with, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." And what a great way to summarize the attitude that we should have as we gather around this table. It truly was a love so amazing that brings us to this point each week. We can say we gather here as an obligation. It's a command. But really, that's not just what God wants from us. God wants our love, and He wants our devotion. I mean, after all, it was God that loved us so much that He sent His Son. Bobby mentioned earlier, Luke 19 and 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." But also, in John 3, 17, "He sent Him not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Jesus deeply loved and cared for all and ultimately died for all. Even as He's enduring the pain of the cross, even as He's hanging there being mocked and ridiculed, His plea to His Father was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Love is described in different places throughout God's Word. I mean, after all, that's what the Bible is. It's a story of love. It's a love that the Creator had for the created, and it's a love that He has for that creation, even though throughout history, the creation didn't demonstrate that same love for the Creator. As we gather here this morning, let's consider the four aspects of love that Paul talked about in his first letter to the Corinthians. In Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 4, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." This table is a symbol, a reminder of that. It's a reminder of the love that Christ had and that He bore all things. And it's through the love of Christ that we can believe in all things. And just as Christ was able to endure this life, we know that through His sacrifice, we too can endure. And through the love of Christ, we have a hope in Christ of an everlasting life. Would you give thanks for the bread?
Dear God, as we come together again today, please help us to keep in mind the sacrifice that was given for us and the body that was given up so we could be saved. And please help us to keep in mind the passion and love that was shown when Jesus gave himself for us. And please help us to try to show that passion and love as we remember him today. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Pray with me. Continue our thanks, Heavenly Father. We gather around this table. We ask you now to bless this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents to the Christian the blood that Jesus shed on our behalf. Father, may we all take of it in a well-pleasing manner, remembering that sacrifice, remembering the love that he had and all that he bore while he hung there on the cross. It's through the love of Christ that we know that we can believe in all things and that we can have a hope of an everlasting life. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did we accidentally overlook anyone?
We also use this as a convenient time to give back a portion of that that we've been blessed with. If you feel more comfortable putting it in the little offering box out in the foyer, please feel free to do so. If you will, please join me in a word of prayer. Our Father, we're so very thankful for all that you do for us. Father, we're very thankful for all that we have, especially those spiritual blessings that you bestow upon us. Father, now as we give back a portion of that that we've been physically blessed with, Father, we're thankful for all that you do for us. We're thankful for all that we have. We're thankful for the ability to give back the portion that you've given to us. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm satisfied with just a coffee loaf, a little silver. Before we have our closing prayer, we're going to sing Hilltops of Glory. Brother Seth, you have our prayer. Onward rejoicing, I tread life's way. Higher I'm climbing each passing day. Hilltops of glory now rise in view. Hilltops of glory land, footsteps of Jesus before us lead. We tread life's journey, his warnings heed. Evil allurement cannot prevail. I'm on the upward trail. Hilltops of glory
I now can see.
Oh, brother, won't you come go with me? Safe on the mountain I soon shall stand. Hilltops of glory land.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today to thank you for allowing us to gather in your name, allow us to be with our brother and Lord.
It's a wonderful start to the week. It's a wonderful time to be together, Lord. We pray for the people that couldn't be here due to sickness, whether it's spiritual, Lord, or physical, Lord. Just watch over them. Allow them to find their way. Allow them to find you, Lord. And allow them to get better if it's in your will, Lord. We ask you to look over us. To start this new year, that we can live our life pleasing you, Lord. We thank you for the blessings of last year. Let's focus on the positives, and let's understand that there are so many things that we think we want, we need, and you allow us to see what we really need, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful blessings each and every day, and allow us to go on our way this week. Allow us to be shining lights in this world, Lord, and allow us to come back here in your name. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.